If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 148, that's where we're going to be tonight. Psalm 148. One of the most compelling passages of Scripture in all the Bible, I think, is the one that's contained over in Revelation chapter 4. There we see that picture of the four living creatures surrounding the throne of God. And it says there, day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And I just think of that unceasing praise. We have singings here every fifth Sunday, and by the time we finish with an hour's worth of singing, my voice is tired. I can't imagine unending praise around the throne of God. It's hard for us to comprehend because, one, we don't have the capacity in these frail bodies of ours for unending praise. And secondly, we have never seen God as He really is. And I'm convinced that when we get a new body and we are in the presence of God, our capacity will be the same as those who in heaven praise Him without ceasing. Here in the 148th Psalm, there is an amazing invitation to praise God. And it begins with those very ones we just spoke of in heaven. We have seen here in the last part of the Psalms, I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, but the last five Psalms contained in this book of 150 Psalms, they all begin with the same three words, praise the Lord. Tonight I want us to look at the 148th Psalm and its call for us to praise God. One of the songs that I grew up singing, we sang it tonight, has these words in it. Dan just read this passage for us, this invitation to praise the Lord. And the psalmist begins with an invitation extended to the angels and to the heavenly hosts to praise Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Well, they're already involved in the praise of God, unending praise. If we could just hear the sound of that heavenly chorus, I think that would also inspire us to join in unceasing praise to God. But there have only been a handful of humans who have ever had the privilege in their lives of hearing that heavenly chorus. The shepherds that night in the field, as they would soon be witnesses to the incarnation of God Himself there in the manger. That night, the heavens were opened. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, Luke says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" Another individual had that privilege of hearing heavenly praise, and that was the Apostle John. What he saw and what he wrote down that is now the book of Revelation gives an account of an eyewitness part of all that praise. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, John says, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns.'" He heard that heavenly host involved in that outpouring of praise to God. Now, to this thundering chorus of angels and all the heavenly host that is praising God on high, the psalmist now turns to the solar system, and he invites the sun and the moon and the stars to join in. Look at verse 3. "Praise Him, sun and moon, praise Him. All you shining stars, praise Him, you highest heavens. Now, the question that comes to some inquiring minds, at least, is how can inanimate objects possibly praise God? David, who for countless nights had gazed into the starry skies as he was out in the fields caring for his sheep, wrote Psalm 19. And listen to the words of that. David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." I'm sure many of you have spent nights out. I remember as a boy out in West Texas where the atmosphere was so clear, and we would sleep out under the stars in our bedrolls, and we would go to sleep watching the skies and talking about the vastness of the universe and how small that made us feel. Back in the 147th Psalm, down in verse 4, we're told that God sees the stars and He calls them each by name. As I look at the stars and I look at the Milky Way galaxy, and to think that God has a name for every single one of those illuminations in the sky. The stars declare in their silent splendor the very glory of God. In that they offer praise to their Creator. The moon and the sun, when I see that blood red sun setting on a beautiful end of a beautiful day, and it seems to just melt into the horizon, to know that God is the one who formed that orb in His hands. The psalmist explains in verse 6 how the heavenly bodies praise God. Look in verse 6 there. It says, "He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away." When God spoke this universe into existence, He set all the planets spinning in their orbits, and they faithfully complete those orbits as they go around and around our sun in the solar system. And in doing this, they are responsive and obedient to the one who created them. And there's an important lesson in all of this. It's through obedience that creation really praises and glorifies the one who brought about their existence. All of creation is obedient to the God who placed it in place in the solar system. In verse 7, He expands this call of praise again. This time, He moves from the heavenly realms. He started in heaven itself. He talks about the stars and the sun, the solar system, and then He brings it right down to the earth. And in verse 7, He says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all ocean depths." The biggest sea creature I've ever seen has been a whale. And on more than one occasion, we have been out in the ocean in boats, and whales have come right alongside the boat, and we've even seen them breaching, where they come up out of the water almost completely and then turn and land on their backs and splash. And to see the size of these sea creatures is just nothing less than astounding. And these sea creatures are now invited to join in the praise. In verse 10, He goes on to land creatures. And He says, "Wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds." And again, I ask, how can an animal praise God? Again, I believe it's through their obedience to their Creator. All nature is obedient to the Creator. Birds migrate. They just do it because God has built that into their system. Bugs crawl, and cattle graze, and fish swim, and the sun shines, and the stars twinkle and illuminate, even though they're light years away. And I just think, was there ever a kangaroo that was a rebel and refused to hop? I mean, all of creation responds the way God intended. Is there ever a bird out there who just crossed his wings and said, I'll not sing? I never saw or heard of a bird that did that. Man is the only creature capable of rebellion. Man is the only part of God's creation that can say no to God. Now, as you look at this, animals and nature at times exhibit greater intelligence, I'm afraid, than mankind in this area of praising God. One writer has said, more base than reptiles, more insignificant than insects, is the man who refuses to lift his voice and join in the chorus of praise to his Maker. I remember getting in a big discussion one time. In fact, I think I've had this discussion more than once about why birds sing. Do birds sing? Is that just a reflex thing? Or do birds actually experience happiness? Sometimes it sounds like birds are so happy in the morning when they're all making those beautiful sounds. I believe, according to this psalm, that birds sing and crickets chirp and frogs croak because they're doing what they were made to do. And in doing that, they are praising God in that sense because they're being obedient to the nature in which God created them. The psalmist again broadens this circle of praise in this last half to include the weather. And he includes lightning and hail and snow and clouds and even storms. Look in verse 8. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. Again, I know all of us have a fascination. Some of you may have a fear. I've never had that fear. I remember as a boy sitting outside when a big front was coming and the big clouds would come rolling in and they just looked dark against the sky and having an absolute fascination as the lightning would streak across the sky and we would count the seconds until the thunder rumbled and we could hear it. And it was amazing. And I can remember times when we sat out on our front porch out in West Texas and we would just be amazed, and we would say, look at that lightning, can you believe that? And then it was as if God was just trying to show us His power, and He would top that one with another one. And we would just sit there like it was the 4th of July watching fireworks in utter amazement at the electrical display. I remember also the very first time that we went to Lubbock, Texas to see the ice capades. And some of you remember the first time they ever began to freeze those big arenas of ice. And that was considered an amazing thing that you could freeze all this ice and then people could go out and skate on it. And yet, we have a God who in one night can freeze the whole North American continent and then blanket it with snow. What kind of God can do that? The chorus grows ever louder as the hills and the hollows and the trees are all invited to join in the praise. Look in verse 9. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. The soprano of the Alps is joined by the alto of the Ozarks. And all the mountains begin to sing together to the praise of God. And every tree on every hillside bursts forth in song. And all the fruit trees and every orchard are invited to join in this anthem of praise to God. You know, we sing another song. All nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. You know, we pray for eyes of faith. I think sometimes we need to pray for ears of faith to hear the praise and acknowledge the praise that all of creation gives to the Creator. No, God is magnified by His creation. You know, isn't that the way all of life is, that that masterpieces praise the name of their maker, just like that statue of David in Florence, Italy, causes people to look at it in admiration and then say, well, what a great sculptor must have formed this tremendous statue. Just like those who hear a Stradivarius violin praise the one who created and crafted those magnificent instruments. So the redwood forests cause us to exclaim, what kind of God must have created masterpieces like these magnificent trees? And for those who have eyes to see, there's a small inscription at the base of every one of those trees and every masterpiece and every waterfall and every mountain scene that says, made by Jehovah God. Finally, as the psalm is about to close, last of all, man is invited to join the praise. Look in verses 11 and 12. Kings of earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. You know, there's room for every voice when the chorus gathers to praise God. And while praise is something that man alone can refuse to give to God, it really is our natural response. I'm convinced that there is that element within every human heart because we're masters at praise. You talk to a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals, and they'll praise that ball team. You talk to someone, we introduced two newly engaged couples here this morning. You ask them about that person that they've just become engaged to, and they'll sing the praise of that individual. You ask me about my grandchildren, and I've got some pictures right here tonight I'll show you. We spontaneously praise what we love and what we value. Praise expressed completes the enjoyment. You know, it's not until we're able to praise God and rejoice in the things that He's done in our lives and in this world that the circle is really complete. Have you ever read a good book or seen a great movie and had nobody to talk to about that good book or that good movie? You know, it's not complete until you're able to share it with someone else and find another enthusiast that shares your opinion about this particular movie or book. Or have you ever been outside and you just see an amazing sunset and your inclination is to call to some, come outside, look at this, pick up the phone and call. Have you been outside? Have you seen the clouds tonight? You know, it's not complete if we can't share it with someone else. This morning, on this Lord's Day, today is August the 3rd, and this morning, somewhere in the islands of Fiji, over around Australia, the first groups of Christians began to assemble together across the international date line from where we are. They began to gather early this Sunday morning, and they began to lift their voices in praise to God. And depending on the meeting times, that ripple began to move around the earth. And from those islands, it moved to China, and there in China, and later in India and Myanmar, Christians gathered together as groups to complete that circle and to share together their joy and their awe and praising God. And they worship Him together. And around the earth, that praise has continued today. It went to Kenya and to all of Africa and to England and finally to the Canary Islands and then to New York. And then it was our turn. At 8:15, a group gathered. Again, at 10:30, a group gathered here. And we lifted our voices in praise to God. And in Hawaii, about now, there are those who are gathering and they're beginning to offer their praise and their worship to God. And my prayer is that when this day ends and when Monday dawns, that we will not lose the joy and the fervor and the majesty of God that we have had as we've assembled together, but that we will continue to do what is taking place at this very moment in heaven, continual praise of the one who made us and the one who saved us. Praise the Lord. If tonight there's anyone who needs to respond to our amazing, wonderful God, He is the one who is worthy of everything we have within us. And He is the only one who can captivate us so fully that we will be totally engrossed in ceaseless praise for all of eternity. If you need to come, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.